And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Welcome, everybody. Thank you all so much for joining me. I am so glad to be with you again today, and praise God for yet another day. Folks, we have got a busy show ahead of us today, and so let me get right to it. First of all, of course, you're listening to American Family Radio. You can listen to us on 181 radio stations across the country. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a loved one. Or you can listen to us live stream on AFR.net. I'm your host here, E.W. Jackson. This program is called The Awakening, one of many fine shows. I'd like to think mine is among them that are on this great network. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for praying for us. Now, look. We have four more tickets, courtesy of American Family Radio, to the first annual gala celebrating 10 years of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, in Alexandria, Virginia, at the Hilton Alexandria Old Town Hotel. By the way, you know, it's right on the Metro line and right on the Amtrak line. For those of you who might be coming from somewhere else, if you can take a train, your train stops right at the hotel, literally right at the hotel. But it's November the 11th, that's Veterans Day, 7 p.m., and we're honoring four great patriots: General Jerry Boykin, Virginia, Jenny Thomas, former ambassador Ken Blackwell, and Star Parker. Star Parker, can't leave Star out, my goodness gracious. Look, folks, I hope you can come. All you got to do is call us at 888-589-8840. And if you are an AFR listener, you are eligible for the ticket. First come, first serve basis. You call and say, listen, I'm going. You're a married person. You get two complimentary tickets. So we have enough tickets left for two married couples or four single individuals. Call 888-589-8840, and we would be happy to accommodate you. Now, yesterday, a caller called in because we were talking about this whole thing of the president being excoriated because he called what this Congress is doing to him, these Democrats in Congress are doing to him. He called it a lynching, and of course they went crazy. How dare he use that phrase? How dare? And I had a caller call up and say it goes back to Ireland. Well, I did a little research afterwards because I get curious about these things. I'm a student of history, and I love history. Well, it turns out that that story may be apocryphal. It may not be true, or at least scholars can't trace it directly to the use of the term lynch. And here's what most scholars on a consensus basis believe it comes from. A man named Charles Lynch, who was a judge in Virginia, who during the Revolutionary War actually arrested and imprisoned Tories who were supporting the crown, were supporting Great Britain. Now, he didn't have the authority by any law to do this, but he did it what's called extrajudicially. He did it because he thought it was an emergency and he had no choice but to do it. And afterwards, he asked the Confederation of States, because we weren't yet the United States, he asked the Confederation of States to pass a law retroactively protecting him for the action that he'd taken during the Revolutionary War after we'd won it. And they call the law the Lynch Law, the Lynch Law. It had nothing to do with capital punishment. It had nothing to do with killing. It had nothing to do with hanging. All it said was that an action taken outside the law in time of emergency was justifiable. And so the way it came to be used was anytime a person was punished, attacked, in any way harmed on the basis of some wrong they were alleged to have done, but that harm, that punishment was, was taken outside the law, it was considered lynching. Had nothing to do with hanging. In fact, the way the law was used, Charles Lynch never hung anybody. Never hung anybody. So they called it lynching after him because it was considered to be outside the normal judicial procedures. Okay? You know, if you think about it, it makes sense because that's why they didn't call the lynching period hanging period. They called it lynching because it was outside the normal judicial procedures, okay? But people were doing, and they were wrong, let me be clear, it was evil, let me be clear, I'm not in any way justifying it or saying it was okay, so please don't mistake my meaning. I'm making a broader point here, and the broader point is that the word's origins have nothing to do with hanging. It has to do with extrajudicial punishment upon people that whoever's inflicting the punishment has no right to inflict. Charles Lynch was the person who was a judge in Virginia, I forget exactly where, was the person taking that action. And it's after his name that the word lynching was coined because it's extrajudicial action. Now, it's been used many times to refer to punishment that seemed unfair or outside the normal bounds of procedure and judicial order. And so guess who else used the term? I just learned this last night. Guess who else used the term? And by the way, put it in his book and had no problems. Nobody raised the question. You know what it was? Bill Clinton. You know what he used it to refer to? He said the Whitewater investigation was a lynching. Do you remember any liberals being up in arms about that? It's in his memoirs today. Do you remember anybody saying he should not put that in there? Well, you know, Joe Biden apologized for it, of course. And I don't think he should have because, frankly, from his perspective, he used it in the right way, although that's not what's really happening to him. But in the context, if you assume that what he's saying is true, that what's happening to him is unfair, the accusations against his son are unfair, then from his perspective, in that context, using the word lynching would be appropriate. It would be the proper use of the term based on its origins and its etymology. Now, I understand it's come to be associated with the lynching of the hanging of black people in violent mob-like procedures. I understand that, and I'm not denying it. I'm not trying to somehow soft sell that. All I'm saying is we have the right to use words based on their proper meaning, not based on the cultural meaning that people imbue it with because of their understanding of history or what's happened and so forth. I said, I could say nobody should be able to use the word crucifixion. Look, Jewish people get very sensitive about the use of the word Holocaust. And I understand that a lot better because the Holocaust was a unique event. I mean, I believe that to use the word Holocaust in the context of abortion is perfectly appropriate. But I don't because I realize Jewish people associated with one particular event. Well, lynching has been used a long, long time, and it's not associated with one particular event. It's associated with injustice. So Clarence Thomas used it in the right context. Here again, Bill Clinton, if he believed that what was happening in the Whitewater investigation was unjust, used it in the right context. But he didn't get the flack that President Trump is getting. I wonder why. Folks, this faux outrage over faux racism has just got to stop. Because I tell you something, my next guest is going to deal with something I consider to be a real instance of racism. And you know what it is, folks? It is the degree to which Margaret Sanger's racist vision to kill black people and minority people and people she considered unworthy of living, the extent to which the left has taken up her mantle and is committing genocide against black people, killing 300,000 to 400,000 black babies every year. In New York, they murder as many black babies by abortion as are born. Now, you want to talk about racism? There it is, in stark terms, and all this nonsense about the use of a word. How about the killing of an unborn child? How about the targeting of an unborn child on the basis of its race, which is exactly what Margaret Sanger was doing? When we come back, my next guest is going to talk to us about an instance that really needs to come to your attention. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Dr. Ann Bradley has been on my radio program and in a recent article talks about her first trip to the Soviet Union. Even as a teenager, she could see through the attempt to make Russia look more prosperous than it was. In fact, her visit was one of the reasons she became an economist. She ends her article by telling the true story of what happened when Boris Yeltsin visited the United States. He was newly elected to the Soviet Parliament and the Supreme Soviet. After he visited the Johnson Space Center, he made an unscheduled stop at Randall's grocery store in Houston. The trip to this simple grocery store changed him forever. Yeltsin roamed the aisles to see a number of products available to every customer. They were offering free cheese samples. He was overwhelmed. He could not believe the bounty before him. Even members of the elite Politburo did not have the choices available to every person who walked into the store. A reporter captured his comments in an article in the Houston Chronicle. He said, "When I saw those shelves crammed with hundreds, thousands of cans, cartons, and goods of every possible sort, for the first time I felt quite frankly sick with despair for the Soviet people." He went on to say that such a potentially super-rich country as ours had been brought to such a state of poverty. It is terrible to think of it. What a statement from a man who was powerful and well-connected politically. He may have had great political power in Russia, but he was powerless to provide it to the Russian people, what was typical for all Americans. The communist government failed to provide the basic necessities for their people, and this is what happens in a centrally controlled economy. This is a lesson we need to pass on to our children and grandchildren. The abundance of goods on the shelves of the Houston grocery store weren't provided by the government. They were provided by a free market. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Ryan Fisher here. Don't miss today's program. We'll talk about the only solution that exists for the 7-year-old Texas boy whose mother wants to turn him into a girl and whose father doesn't. The father's under a gag order, but we have tape from an interview he conducted before the gag order was imposed. His case is enormously important in our cultural civil war. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you all at our gala because all 10 tickets are now gone. Sorry, folks, but that was really quick. I mentioned this yesterday and boom, 6 out the door, and mentioned it again at the opening of the program today and boom, another 4 gone. Sorry we can't accommodate the rest of you, but thank you for those of you who are interested enough to want to be there. And I look forward to seeing you at the American Family Radio table. At the gala on November the 11th, 7 p.m. at the Alexandria. That is the Hilton Alexandria Old Town Hotel. Now, folks, I talked about at the end of the program real instances of racism as opposed to this nonsense, these stupid debates over words that are meaningless, the debates are meaningless. I mean, the words have meaning, but people try to imbue them with a meaning that somehow makes them horrible and offensive, and you can't use them, at least if someone perceived as conservative uses them. If someone perceived as liberal uses them, then you don't hear a peep. Well, I discovered a story, I think, what is today? Well, I think it was earlier this week. Yes, earlier this week, and I said, man, I've got to get Students for Life on, because in their internet magazine or blog, I found a story about a pastor right here in Virginia, and it was so shocking to me that I thought, I've got to get them on. In fact, I'd love to get this pastor on, too, to find out how he justifies this. But Matt Lamb is the executive director of Students for Life. Matt, thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, Matt, before we get into this issue, our listeners may not, I mean, they've probably heard of Students for Life, no doubt. I certainly have. But tell people a little bit about your organization and what you do.
Sure. So Students for Life America is a nonprofit, and we basically start pro-life groups on high school and college campuses, advocate for policies on campus that support pregnant and parenting students. We actually just released a Bill of Rights for pregnant parenting students. And then, you know, we start groups, we help them grow, we train them in apologetics, and then we started a 501c4, which basically allows us to do more voter outreach, more political activities. We started that in January, and we are right now focused on turning out pro-life voters ahead of the Tuesday, November 5th Virginia election. So basically, it's mobilizing students and young adults to be pro-life, to feel more secure in their beliefs, train them, so we can have kind of that next generation of leadership.
But you're a nationwide organization. You just happen to be working on this Virginia election because we are the only state that has an off-year election, I think, other than New Jersey, correct?
Right. There's a couple other. Kentucky has a governor's race, which we've had some students work with groups like Susan B. Anthony List to get out voters. But we know Virginia is the target of the left. We know Soros has poured in hundreds of thousands of dollars. We know if they win, they'll try to pass a lot of bad legislation, like Kathy Tran's bill, if you remember from January. And so that's why if we can kind of make sure it stays pro-life, we can stop them.
Well, I know I heard you on a call to of various organizations that have come together to try to make sure
right.
that Virginia remains a pro-life state and a pro-constitutional state and just frankly a pro-common sense and sanity state.
Right.
Okay. Well. Listen, you are doing great work, and you are a millennial, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I live in Fredericksburg, so I'm unfortunately just outside of this pastor's district that we're going to talk about. So I didn't get an opportunity to vote against him. But yeah, I'm only 25 years old, so I think it qualifies as millennial. I'm right on the cusp. I think 91 is the cusp, and I was born 93. So.
Well, Matt, you give us all hope, my friend. You give us all hope. And I know there are many, many with you. So God bless you. Keep up the good work. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's talk about this pastor, because I don't know whether you know me, but I am a pastor.
Right.
And when I read this article, it just broke my heart. Because here you've got somebody who is a pastor, a shepherd over a flock, who is taking, frankly, a position that is even, I think, radical, even in the so-called pro-choice community, the pro-abortion community. Tell us about him.
Sure. So if you remember, or for anyone who doesn't, back in February or January, Delegate Kathy Tran introduced a bill called the Repeal Act. It was similar to what was passed in New York and later in Illinois. Which basically removed all limits on abortion. I think it removed parental notification. It removed the need to have two doctors certify if someone was saying they needed, like, a really late-term abortion. You just need two doctors to say it was actually medically necessary. So she introduced that, embarrassed us, and then Ralph Northam came out, embarrassed us by defending it, embarrassed the state of Virginia. And then his photos came out, which, by the way, just to quickly divert, we might want to remind him that Halloween's coming up and what's appropriate to wear and what's not appropriate to wear. But then Josh Cole's one of the candidates, and he's come out basically in support. He's been endorsed by Planned Parenthood. A handful of the candidates are basically trying to be coy about it, but saying they basically support Kathy Tran's legislation, which basically amounts to legalized infanticide because she admitted it would allow abortion up to, like, the moment of birth.
Yeah, and then Governor Northam comes along and says, and if the child was an intended abortion and is born alive, well, then the doctor and the mother could have a discussion about
right.
whether you let the child die after that. And that was the thing that caused such a stir
right.
and such controversy across the country. So the Governor Northam was supporting that bill. And by the way, folks, if you missed the reference, Governor Northam is the guy who has called everybody and his mother and father a racist when he's found to be wearing blackface and a Ku Klux Klan outfit at his graduation party or at a graduation party or something like that. And by the way, you may not know this, Matt, I ran against him for lieutenant governor and reached out to shake his hand, and he would not shake my hand.
Right. I remember we were at the Richmond rally. I remember you had some pretty good comments about him.
Yeah. So look, this guy who is running, his name is Cole, right? This pastor.
So Joshua Cole, he's running in it's House District 28, which is a lot of Fredericksburg City, some of Stafford. So basically Spotsylvania, Stafford area.
Now, Matt, I don't know whether you get into this, but I certainly do. This pastor, folks, happens to be black. And as a black conservative, I've had every name called, you know, sellout and Uncle Tom and traitor and this, that, and the other. And I just wonder how in the world people fix themselves to say such things when you can have a member of the black community knowing that a disproportionate number of the abortions that happen in the country happen to black women and their children, that they somehow are doing the bidding of Planned Parenthood, and they seem to think that's perfectly okay. No problem with that. And you're talking about millions of black children over the years who have been killed. Matt, has anybody called this guy out on this? I mean, knowing Margaret Sanger's history and background?
Right. So we've been going door to door and even talking to pro-choice voters and saying, you know, this is kind of extreme. And so as far as I know, we're the only ones to bring it up. And I will add, too, this is so extreme. So I believe he's a millennial, too. I think he's only 20 or 29. Our district is very millennial heavy. We have a lot of college students. We have Mary Washington down here. We have a lot of young married couples. You know, in the area. So we have a lot of young people that live out here, and, you know, only 7% of millennials agree with this position of unlimited abortion on demand and at taxpayer expense. And so he's not even representing, and that cuts across Republican, Democrat, black, white, you know, whatever demographic you could assign to someone. Only 7% of millennials agree with this extremism on abortion. So he's not even representing, if I can speak for millennials, he's not even representing the millennial view on abortion.
Now, has he responded to your comments? Has he responded to anybody's questioning his position on the issue, particularly as a pastor?
So we actually got a chance to ask him some questions. And he said, well, yeah, but sometimes it's medically necessary, and what Planned Parenthood tells me is, and I said, no. Of course Planned Parenthood can play that. And then, in fact, the other question he tried to dodge is he's been campaigning with Alec Baldwin, I don't know if you saw that, who, of course, is an abusive person, has made homophobic, transphobic remarks, left abusive messages for, like, his 12-year-old, 11-year-old daughter, you know, I think it'd be interesting to ask him as well. Why are you campaigning with someone who, you know, abuses women? I think he beat up a paparazzi one time. He got in a fight with someone over a parking spot.
And he's unrepentant about any of it. I mean, he hasn't apologized for any of it. So Alec Baldwin is actually in Fredericksburg campaigning with Joshua Cole.
Yep, he was here a couple days ago, and I believe actually Eric Holder is going to be down in Fredericksburg next weekend, the 2nd, to campaign with Cole and a couple other candidates. So I think it'd be really great to ask. Don't ask Republicans. I think it'd be great to ask some Democrats. How do you feel about how extreme he is on abortion? How do you feel about him campaigning with someone who I think beat up his girl? He was abusive towards his girlfriend or wife. I know he left a nasty voicemail, like I said, for his daughter. One of his divorces, yeah. I mean, I think that would be a great question to ask. And if he's not going to ask it, we're happy to ask it and to remind voters of it, of how they feel about that kind of, is that kind of what they believe a moral leader does? And I would say, no, it doesn't, but I think it'd be great to hear from, I think it'd be great for his potential constituents to hear from their candidate.
Absolutely.
Where he
Matt, let me take a quick break. We'll come back and tell people how to get in touch with you and talk to you about a couple more issues. Back in a moment.
Great.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Ever notice the different names we give our dogs? I used to have a dog named Pluto. Fido is a more common name. So is Skip and Shep. I ran across a story about a dog named Troubles. I thought it was unusual for a dog to be named Troubles. But then Troubles is an unusual dog. Troubles was a scout dog in Vietnam. He was left behind in the jungle when his master was wounded and air evacuated out. Troubles had been airlifted to the patrol area and had no scent to follow by which to return. However, 3 weeks later, exhausted and 40 pounds thinner, Troubles showed up back at the base camp. He went to the spot where his master's gear always lay, only to find that it had been moved. He searched till he found it and then collapsed on it. He had found what he'd been searching for. It's that way most of the time in life, finding what we're searching for, I mean. I'm not saying that if we search for $1 million, we'll find it. I am saying that as far as the intangible things go in life, we usually find what we're searching for. If we wish to find fault, we usually will find it. If we look for good, we will usually find it. What we find is usually what we want to find and what we expect to find, and in reality, what we're looking for. Strange, isn't it, how two people can look at a person and see two different people? One day, a fellow who was proud of how good he was looked upon a woman who had made a mess of her life and called her a sinner unfit to touch. Another fellow, in the same room and looking at the same woman, called her act of washing his feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair and then putting perfume on them a beautiful thing. Two people looking at the same woman, but each saw a different person. Each saw what he wished to see. It's that way. We find what we want to find. Troubles wanted to find his master. He searched for him. It cost him all the energy he could muster and the loss of 40 pounds. He had nearly nothing to help him in his search, but he found what he was looking for. It may seem that Troubles went through a lot of trouble searching for what he found, and he did. But no more than we go through sometimes, searching for faults or mistakes of others. About the best way I know of losing an enemy is to make a friend. And we make friends by searching for the good and the beautiful. Thoreau Harris wrote a poem about it because he believed in it so much. Look for the beautiful, look for the true. Look for the beautiful, life's journey through. Paul wrote some poetry about it also. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. What are you going to find in others? That depends on what you're looking for.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
My guest is Matt Lamb. He's the Executive Director of Students for Life. Matt, how can people get in touch with you, support you, follow the work that you're doing, help it in any way? You might need help.
Sure. In the next 2 weeks, we'd love to get some help knocking on doors. You can email me at mlam@studentsforlife.org. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram if you want to send us a message. If anyone would like to donate, of course, you can donate at donate.studentsforlifeaction.org. Just reach out, shoot me an email where you live, how you can help out. You can take 50 door hangers and pass them out after mass or after service at your church. That'd be great. Otherwise, we're on social media and we'd love to have any help you can give.
All right, folks, and we've got a number of stations here in Virginia. Those of you who are listening in Virginia, you just heard Matt. I mean, he is a millennial. He's a young guy. He's out there fighting the good fight of faith, trying to make sure that America remains and that right now Virginia remains a pro-life state. So any help that you can give, please give it. Because, folks, Matt, I'm sure you feel the same way I do. Virginia is in trouble, and we need all the help we can get. We need divine intervention, but we need boots on the ground. We need dollars in the bank account. We need everything we can get to make sure that the worst does not come to pass.
Right. Close on this. I'm from Illinois, and I'm pretty dedicated to making sure Virginia doesn't also get ruined. So
hear you. Now listen, how can the average voter, and in what way should the average voter approach these elections? I mean, you guys now started a C4, so you can get a little bit more involved in the political process. What should voters be looking for? What kinds of questions should they be asking to make sure that they're voting for candidates that reflect their pro-life values?
Yeah, that's a good question. So anyone's free to email me again, mlam@studentsforlife.org. If you're not sure about a candidate, the Family Research Council also has a great resource. It's just ivoterguide.org, where you can look up your zip code. There's some good candidates who haven't sent an info, though. So some of it says insufficient. You can obviously go to the candidate's website. But I really think you have to ask them, what are the issues important to you? Where do you stand on the issue of life? If you were in the legislature, would you have supported this bill? Or if they're current, you know, they're incumbent, did you support this bill? HB 2491 is the Big Appeal Act. So if you supported that, you're pro-choice. The other one would be Equal Rights Amendment, which would basically do all the same things the Appeal Act would do and be even harder to undo when it would impose it on the entire country. And then the other issues that are important to people. So we're focused on the issue of life, but public safety, taxes, spending. And I think it's fair. I mean, if these people want to represent you, it's fair to ask them all, you know, where do you stand on these issues? What have they said? What are the videos online you can watch? What are the statements they've made? What are they saying on social media? And it's completely fair. Go to one of their events and ask them where they stand on the issues.
All right. Well, listen, Matt, thanks for taking time to join us. And, Matt, stay in the fight. I will be, and I'm hoping that we will wake up after the first Tuesday in November here in Virginia and say, thank God we dodged the bullet, just like we did in 2016. So we're going to all be praying and working toward that end. So, Matt, once again, before you go, if people want to get in touch with you, they should go to studentsforlife.org.
Studentsforlifeaction.org.
Studentsforlifeaction.org, okay.
Yeah, and it's /Virginia-Outreach, or you just sign up. And even I say, we have all these, if someone would say, can you mail me 25 scorecards, I want to pass them out after church, or I can even just send you the file and you can print them on your own. You know, every little thing, or if you can go to 10 doors in your neighborhood and just talk to voters, any little help, we'd appreciate it.
And
as well,
folks,
as money, of course.
Let's defeat this Joshua Cole. I mean, come on. A pastor? Oh, my goodness gracious. Listen, Matt, I admire the work you're doing. God bless you. We're fighting to make sure that we can hand off to you a country that we can be proud of and that you can be proud of. And I'm glad at 25 years old, you're already in the fight for the future of this nation. So God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye now. Well, folks, the number here is 888-589-8840. If you want to call and talk about either this whole issue of definition, you know, I told you yesterday the definition of the word lynch. I told you yesterday we are living in a totalitarian culture. Now, the state is not totalitarian yet, but the culture is, because it's trying to punish people for the way you think and behave. In fact, I was listening to someone yesterday, and I believe that this was on Tucker Carlson. I don't remember this gentleman's name, but you know, he said something that I'd never heard put this way before, but I thought, wow, that's powerful because it's true. He said, the left is not simply trying to control your speech. He said, they're trying to control your cognitive liberties. In other words, they don't only want to control what you say. They want to control what you're allowed to think. That the very idea that you would think a certain way is anathema to them. And they're going to do everything they can to try to train you, not to think a certain way by punishing you when it becomes clear that you think that way. And folks, here again, what does that sound like? What does that sound like? I mean, it's, folks, it's straight out of the Marx, Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Castro, Pol Pot playbook. I forgot Ho Chi Minh. Let's not leave him out. And on and on. It's straight out of their playbook. You can only think a certain way or you will be punished. I mean, in fact, some of you may be able to verify this for me, but I've heard that this guy in the NBA who stood up for the people in Hong Kong who were protesting, that he's been sent to some kind of re-education program. What? I mean, the NBA is now sending people to re-educate them because China doesn't like the way they think? I mean, what, do they go to China to learn the stuff? Yes, here's how you re-educate people. I mean, folks, so we are living in a totalitarian culture now. But look, this guy down in Fredericksburg, a pastor who's got the unmitigated gall to be standing up for Planned Parenthood and supporting a bill that says absolutely no limitations on abortion whatsoever, including apparently agrees with Ralph Northam that, and if you intended an abortion even after the baby is born, if you don't want it, just get rid of it. Kill it. Let it lay there and die. A pastor. Folks, I said yesterday, this stuff is infiltrating the church. This godless, atheistic, I can't even wrap my mind about that. My first question is, you know that old saying, some were called and some were sent and some just got up and went. He must be one of those people who just got up and went. You know, God never called him. God never sent him. He doesn't even know God. Because I can't imagine how you do the bidding of Planned Parenthood and actually have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, I understand how Al Sharpton could, because Al Sharpton is lost. I understand how Jesse Jackson could, because Jesse Jackson's lost. They're not pastors, though. They're just political figures who use the clergy to give themselves legitimacy. This guy's actually in charge of a flock. And this is what he believes? I'm going to reach out to him. Yeah, I most certainly am going to reach out to him, see if I can get him on, because I want him to explain to me, and frankly to you, to the body of Christ, how in the world did he come to these abominable views? Who's pulling his strings? What's wrong with him? And I hope the people of Fredericksburg, and I think we got a station out around that way too, I hope the people of Fredericksburg, well, we've got one I know in Culpeper County, which is not far away. I hope they vote that rascal all the way out of Fredericksburg. I mean, just vote him out. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. I'm going to come to your calls as soon as we come back from the break. 888-589-8840. Back in a moment.
It can be easy for a mom to fall into the comparison trap. Tiffany Lee, the Christian singer known as Plum, describes her dilemma on Focus on the Family Minute.
I scored super high on the mother-in-law chart, and I wanted to please her. I wanted her to feel like, wow, my son really married an A-class girl. And I felt, and this was only, I was putting this on myself, but it was like, because I tour and I have to actually ask help sometimes, right, to get the house cleaner, sometimes I have to ask someone to babysit the kids, or sometimes I have to, I can't do all the things that she did, then I'm not measuring up. And so I kept putting that on myself, and I felt almost threatened at, like, okay, if I'm a mom, I should be good at being a mom.
Well, God created you as the perfect mom for your family. Rely on His power to do that. More at FamilyMinute.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
One other quick thing, and then I'm going to come right to the phones. The number again is 888-589-8840. One other thing I want to put on the table, and that is that recently, the Georgetown University's Institute of Politics and Public Service did a poll, and the conclusion that they came to, now you can take this for what it's worth, the Georgetown University Institute of Politics and Public Service did a poll, and the poll showed that 67% of Americans believe that we are nearing civil war. Now, you know, I've said that before, but really feeling like I'm probably an outlier saying that, but you know, and of course, I don't want civil war. I'm believing for God's intervention and for an awakening to happen in our country. That's my prayer. That's what I want. I want to see us come together, not be torn apart. But I was shocked. 67%, folks. 67%. And they predict, based on that, that the 2020 election is going to be the nastiest in the history of the country. I don't know. We'll see. But I tell you one thing, we certainly do need a turnaround. So let's go to the lines. We've got Janet of Texas. Janet, thank you for your patience. Welcome. Oops. Hold on, Janet. Let me just get there. You go. Hello. Hi, Janet.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. You're Bishop Jackson, right?
Yes, ma'am. E.W. Jackson.
Okay,
that's
right. I just
want
to make sure I got your name right. I listen to you, but I always get your name. But anyway, thank you for serving our country. I know you served in our military.
Yes,
I
did.
And I want to thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you.
And I'm taking a stand for the Lord and our nation, our founding. And I'm very actively involved, and I love the Lord with all my heart, and I love the founding of our country. Our founding fathers looked to God's Word, the Bible, for the founding of America. All those principles come from only one book, and that's the Bible. Okay, I wanted to share with you a little thing really neat happened here just a little while back at Walmart here in the town that I live near. I was running short 47 cents, and I'm white, and a black man was standing behind me, and behind him was a Mexican man. And so I told the clerk, I said, oh, I'm running short that change. And I thought, oh, wow, I've got to go out and get that change. And that was going to throw everybody off, you know, getting them checked out. And that black man, he was so sweet. He laid a dollar down. And it was, to me, like he laid $1,000 down because I didn't have to go get my money. And he was sweet, so sweet to do that for me. And I had tears. I said, thank you so much. And the Mexican man behind him, he saw this, and he put a thumbs up. So that's all white, right. Black, and Spanish. I mean, we all were standing. And I told him, I said, thank you so much, and may the Lord bless you. And see, I tell people Jesus loves them anyway, because my heart's in evangelism. But,
Janet, listen, I'm going to take some other calls, but thank you so much. That is a heartwarming story. And look, Janet, that is the very best of who we are as a nation. Neighbor, helping neighbor, not government dictating to you what you can and cannot say, what you must and must not do, and all of this. And government's going to take care of everybody. And no, it's neighbor, helping neighbor. And, you know, I'm convinced that the real unity that's going to be achieved in this country is not going to be around race. It's going to be around ideas. It's going to be around our vision for our country. So God bless you, Janet, for that heartwarming story. Because after all, God made us all. He loves us all. And he wants us all to love each other. And that's really the message that we're supposed to have. Now, social justice, of course, denies the righteousness of God. And that's where we differ. We believe in justice, but you don't need a qualifier. We believe in justice, but justice has got to be based on righteousness. But you know what? We also believe in mercy. And that's what happened with Janet at the Walmart. Somebody showed her mercy. God bless you. Let's go to Ruth in Mississippi. Ruth, welcome.
Brother Jackson, hi there.
Hi.
Hi. I apologize for the calls yesterday. The first one got dropped, and then someone came up outside, and Mr. Marty said there was two or three calls ahead of me, so I thought I had time. And about the time I was coming in, you were saying, Ruth, are you on the line? And anyway, I apologize for that.
Okay.
I just love you. I agree with everything you say. You are definitely, God definitely has your heart. And I agree with you. I believe we're already in a civil war fracture. Yes, I believe we're already, sadly to say, I believe there is a civil war fracture already going on. Like, you know, Pastor Jeffrey said about a civil war fracture. Sadly, yeah, I believe it's already here. I want to see what you think about this. Mitt Romney, why is he in the Republican Party? Is he maybe undercover for the Democrats? Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, listen, Ruth, I think that Mitt Romney is a profoundly confused man. I really do. I think he's just a profoundly confused man. I don't think he knows which way is up. You know, when he was in Massachusetts, he was first pro-life, and then he was pro-choice, and then he became pro-life again. I don't know what he is now. And he was, because he's a Mormon, and Mormons have some fairly traditional viewpoints. I mean, they're not Christians per se, and they don't believe in the Orthodox view of Christianity with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But they have a lot of very traditional family values and attitudes. And they don't, for the most part, support same-sex marriage and all that. Well, Romney, when he ran in Massachusetts, said, I'm going to be more pro-gay than Ted Kennedy. So the man is just, he's just a confused mess. You know, it's interesting. He had a chance to really take it to Barack Obama, and I think perhaps could have even defeated him if he had had the fortitude to stand and just fight for it. But he came back after the first debate, and he just wilted like a little lily, and just draped over, and Obama just took him to the cleaners. But he seems to be so intent on attacking President Trump, which is comes back to the question that you've raised, Ruth. What, who is he really working for? And, you know, I don't think he even knows, to tell you the truth. I do wish that he would just go somewhere and leave us alone and stay out of politics, because we definitely do not need his confusion and his attacks on President Trump. But thank you for the call, Ruth. We appreciate it. Let's go to Phyllis in Louisiana. Phyllis, welcome.
Yeah. I was calling in reference to your comment about the how many people think that we're heading for civil war.
Yes.
And I totally agree. And after seeing the movie The Reliant last night, I was like, this is happening now, and I can see in 10 years or less, we Christians are going to be you know, hunkered down, hiding, trying to defend ourselves against, you know, just a society of crazy people.
Well, Phyllis, it's not looking good. I mean, I agree with you. It's really not looking good. When you've got the NBA defending communist China and attacking our own country, I mean, how does that even work? I mean, you know, they didn't stand up against their players kneeling for the flag and refusing to stand up for the national anthem, but they don't want anybody speaking against a communist dictator that oppresses all of its people. And by the way, you know, the NBA went through a thing. Are you all aware of this? They went through a thing where they didn't want to call, and I think this is now the new rule. They can't call the team owners, even though they're businesses and they have owners, but they can't call the team owners owners, because that harks back to slavery. So they have to call them governors. Folks, this stuff is wild. And yet, a communist dictatorship that oppresses all of its people and turns all of its people into slaves, and you got this namby-pamby, well, we don't really know, and we're not educated, and Charles Barkley with his silly self, we can't really apply our culture to their culture. Well, you know what it is? They've sold their souls for 30 pieces of silver, and the money is dictating their consciences. And even that is not consistent, because they're making plenty of money right here in America, and they still seem to denounce and hate our country. And here again, folks, how do you resolve and compromise between people like, I dare say, most of you listening to me right now, who passionately love this country and are deeply grateful to God that we are Americans and that we enjoy the freedom and the opportunity and the prosperity that this country offers, and then a group of people who hate the country, think it's the worst place in the world, even though they enjoy all the benefits that come with it? They have nothing good to say about America. They denounce it. They despise it. They disdain it. They disrespect our flag. They burn it. They spit on it. They stomp it. They trample it. How do you resolve that great a difference? Wow. I'm sorry, folks. I've gone on. Let me see if I can get at least one or two more in. Otis in North Carolina, welcome. Oops.
How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing blessed. How are you?
Okay. I'm actually working in North Carolina, but I live right in Suffolk, right down the road from Chesapeake, where your church is.
And, okay. Well, yeah, you're right in my neighborhood.
Yes, sir. And I got to say, as a Black American, God bless you, as one to another, and I don't believe in talking about race. I wish it was a topic that never had to be brought up.
Amen.
But
amen.
God bless you for being on the radio waves and giving a voice of truth. And I don't believe in following pastors. I believe where, you know, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, you know, directs you to where your church home is. But since I'm so close, I have just got to visit your church. Can you tell me where it is?
Okay.
I do have a church home of my own in Suffolk, but I would love to come and worship and fellowship with
Otis,
y'all.
Listen, I've got to go, but go to thecall.org, okay? Thecall.org. Thanks, folks. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.